to Warren Zevon. Enjoy every sandwich. He was recently, I think, put in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and his son sang one of his songs.
Oh, really?
There's a whole tribute to him. I'm not sure of the recognition, but I did see a little video of it. So, Warren Zevon, you know, when asked on almost his deathbed on David Letterman's show, like, what can you tell us about life now that you're looking back? And, you know, and he just said, enjoy every sandwich.
Yeah, wasn't he on for like the whole week with Letterman, or was he just one day?
I think he was
on every show for the week. Is the Letterman really liked him?
Well, not, I don't think when he was dying, but I think he was a guest artist. He would be on there, like if.
No, I think while he was dying.
Okay.
We'll check it out.
Okay. We have flabbergasted how long ago that was, by the way.
I know.
Coming up, we'll have the latest local news for you from our Up North report. Make sure you stay tuned.
Speaking of being flabbergasted by time, we were having conversations last night, and the conversation was brought up on the bridge collapse on Highway 35 in Minneapolis 20 years ago. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 in Brainerd, and on your smart speaker, we are People Powered Radio in northern Minnesota. Join us, won't you, at KAXE.org.
Want to tell you about what news stories we're going to be hearing about from the Up North report. You know, they have been reporting this week some of the ICE raids that had been reported in two Mexican restaurants in Hibbing. Mm-hmm. We're also going to be hearing this morning, coming from the KEXE newsroom, about Medicaid programs being suspended and Minnesota's soon-to-be frozen farm fields that hold future clean jet fuel, and an update on Esco girls soccer, all coming up on the Up North report.
Shortly after being diagnosed with terminal lung cancer, American singer-songwriter Warren Zevon made his final appearance on the late-night talk show with Letterman on October 30th, 2002.
23 years ago. There we go.
Goodness gracious. We would like to thank the Headwaters Unitarian Universalist Fellowship and Bemidji gathering at 10 a.m. on Sundays now through May at the Headwaters Peace Center. HUF is an inclusive space to seek truth, practice love, and celebrate life. HeadwatersUU.org.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. Governor Tim Walz announced Wednesday that his administration will pause payments for more than a dozen Medicaid services pending a third-party audit. The Department of Human Services flagged 14 Medicaid services as high risk based on what it calls program vulnerabilities and evidence of fraudulent activity. The funding pause could last up to 90 days for programs like integrated community supports, non-emergency medical transportation, adult day services, and many other programs serving people with disabilities. The audit will be performed by Optum, a division of Minnesota-based United Health Group. Earlier this year, national media outlets reported the healthcare giant was also under investigation for fraud by the Department of Justice. Walz, who recently announced his intention to seek a third term in office, stated that programs and services can't be effectively delivered without the backing of public trust. The now-defunct Housing Stabilization Services is among the 14 programs affected by the pause. The state moved to shut down the program in August due to fraud, with 8 people currently charged in federal court. The payment pause comes amid a fraud frenzy in Minnesota that so far appears to have cheated the state out of hundreds of millions of dollars. Minnesota's largest nurses union is calling out Essentia Health for what it describes as unsafe staffing levels following 4 recent assaults on staff in Duluth and Brainerd. The Minnesota Nurses Association says the incidents over a 2-week time span reflect a, quote, dangerous pattern in Essentia facilities, one that nurses have been warning about for years. The union is calling for strengthened staffing ratios and including frontline nurses in hospital safety decisions. In a statement to the Minnesota Star Tribune, Essentia Health says the union is, quote, exploiting a serious challenge to score points in the press instead of working toward meaningful solutions, and that, quote, no amount of staffing can prevent violence against healthcare workers. MNA says security systems and emergency tools play an essential role in hospital safety, but can't replace the need for adequate nursing staff to prevent crises before they occur. The Star Tribune reports that between 2021 and 2022, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reports there were 550 assaults in Minnesota hospitals that resulted in workers missing days or having restricted duty transfers because of their injuries. Pretty soon, Minnesota's farm fields will be in a deep freeze, but some seeds will still be doing their work. Farmers trying out a winter-hardy crop are at the forefront of a production process to create cleaner fuel for commercial jets. This fall, the University of Minnesota's Forever Green Initiative is in the early stages of a study to determine the next steps for sustainable aviation fuel. A key ingredient is winter camelina, a cover crop that not only protects the soil from erosion, but also has the potential for commercial use. Forever Green's co-director Mitch Hunter says right now they're green rows of little plants that will fully blossom in the spring.
And then after the plant flowers, those flowers will turn into fruit packed with seeds. And inside each one of those seeds, you have 35% oil.
Minnesota researchers and their partners are leading a charge to convert that seed oil into low-carbon jet fuel that airlines can use to reduce their emissions. Last fall, a test flight using SAF flew out of the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Hunter says the latest research aims to lay out a blueprint detailing what's needed to scale up production. Challenges include perfecting crop varieties and finding enough processing capacity. In northern Minnesota, fourth-generation farmer Eric Kakowski just planted his share of winter camelina across roughly 640 acres. It's his third season of trying this crop out. Like researchers, there's a learning curve for him, including the best time in the fall for putting the seeds in the ground. But he says it's an easy crop to manage.
I don't have to babysit it. I can take care of my other crops and make sure they're producing like they're supposed to.
Groups like Friends of the Mississippi River back the movement because of the chance to improve water quality with healthier farmland. Thanks to Minnesota News Connection for the story. ESCO finished fourth place in the girls' soccer state tournament. They tied with St. Cloud Cathedral with 0 points in the third-place match Thursday afternoon. ESCO played top-seeded Providence Academy and lost 1-3 in the semifinals Wednesday. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
Up North Report available as a podcast. Also, our Season Watch podcast, brand new from KAXE, is available at our website. You can hear it this week and hear it tomorrow at 1:30. Charlie and I talking about this week, you know, what's happening with the Bears. We had a chance to get Andy Try on this week, the Bear guy from the DNR. And we'll kind of talk about what's happening and the, especially as she likes to put it, biological antifreeze. I think that should be your band name, don't you?
That's a good one, yeah.
That is the chemicals in frogs. They freeze over the winter. They're frogsicle. Then there's other chemicals. They come back to life.
Well, that's... Yeah, that...
It's, so everybody's doing a different thing, right, to get ready for the winter ahead. Might be storing acorns right now as you're listening to us. Who knows? But we're getting ready for a little change because it is daylight saving this weekend.
And I like that you and Kari were talking about we mimic animals. I mean, it's going to be dark out. We're going to eat a lot of food, maybe ice cream. We're going to put on some pounds. We're going to sleep more. It's just the way
baking,
it goes.
Probably bake more bread. I haven't baked bread for a while. And you know, naps. No guilt naps.
Squirrel. And I was interested. Squirrels don't, they don't hibernate. They just hang out underneath and have 27 years of acorns and they love life.
That's chipmunks. Chipmunks. Squirrels. They do. I think it's
gray squirrels. Well, they're out all winter, but they stock up. What are they doing? What are they doing in there?
We've got some suggestions here on what John should be for Halloween. Big paper dunce cap. I think that's from one of your closest friends.
Yeah, that's a very nice comment.
Steve from St. Paul Como says, as for John, he wants us to put Putting on the Ritz from Young Frankenstein. But then he says, as for John, he could be the dude from the movie Office Space. Give him a swing line stapler and put him in the decrepit volunteer studio. All right. We can do that.
I've
Brenda says, Maybe John could be a taller Tyrone Lannister from Game of Thrones, handsome and persistent.
Ooh.
I'm not sure what that means. And then we also had one, a suggestion from Jen. She says, Bauer costume idea, gift tag, reading, two women from God, placed on chest, bonus if there's a bow.
Wow. Wow. Well, the dunce cap one is true. In fourth grade, I was put in the back of the room with the dunce cap and had to be facing away from the people.
Oh.
It was from one of my favorite teachers, too.
I'm sorry.
He had a dunce cap just in case he needed it.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes, or cutaway coat, perfect fits. Dressed up like a $1 million trooper, trying mighty hard to look like Gary Cooper. Come, let's mix where Rockefellers walk with sticks or Rumbarellers in their midst.
Okay, that's going out to Steve from Como. We wanted to hear a little bit of the young Frankenstein putting on the Ritz. Very easy to picture that.
Where was the scene? I don't remember.
On a stage or in tuxes.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
It's, right. Yeah, a lot of fun. Young Frankenstein might be a fun movie to watch. We'd love to hear what you're up to this Halloween. You're invited into KEXE's studios. Warning, John will not be in costume. KBXE Studios also open for a Halloween open house during the day today. Stop by and get a little candy.
I saw the bag. It's a pillow gunny sack.
Yep, there you go. Chance of showers for our day today. Cloudy skies, temperatures 42 to 44. North winds 5 to 10. Chance of rain or flurries for tonight. Mostly cloudy, lows 27 to 32. And partly sunny tomorrow, highs in the low 40s. And don't forget, daylight saving time. Set your clocks back 1 hour before you go to bed on Saturday night.
I want to thank Grand Itasca Clinic and Hospital, home to an experienced OBGYN team that provides comprehensive women's health services, including maternity and advanced gynecology care, all in Grand Rapids, granditasca.org. Also want to thank L&M Fleet Supply, carrying a variety of products for your next outdoor adventure with 13 locations across the Northland.
Coming up next, the latest installment of StoryCorps, and then we hear from Marshall Helmberger and the news from northeastern Minnesota. Stay tuned.
Time for StoryCorps. Today, an update on a family you heard from 10 years ago. As a college student, Sean Carter was in a car crash that caused a traumatic brain injury. He could no longer walk and couldn't speak without the help of a computer.
Hi, my name is Sean Carter. I am here with my mom, Jenny Carter.
It's kind of hard living with your mom 24/7 when you're 32 years old.
Hell yeah.
Sean's mom, Jenny, is his full-time caregiver. Jenny is aging, so they came back to StoryCorps to talk about what the future might hold.
How have things changed since the first recording we did together?
I think your electronic voice has matured.
My manly voice.
Yes. Plus, you've gotten so much more independent.
I've now been walking for 10 years with my walker, but I still hope and pray that I'll be free to walk anywhere without anything to help.
You seem fearless to me, and I don't know that you seemed that way 10 years prior.
Yes, life just keeps getting better because I have you. Is there anything you feel like you've missed out on in life because of your focus on me? The time you could not spend with your grandkids?
Yeah, I do regret the time that I haven't been able to spend with my grandkids.
I feel terrible that your life had to change so much.
I don't really feel like they're sacrifices, Sean. It's just the way life is. I don't want you in a nursing home.
No.
I don't want your life to be anything less than anybody else's life, so don't ever feel like you were holding me from doing anything.
I feel hopeful at times, while I am making baby steps, little by little, to be able to take care of myself. Who knows when that will finally happen, or if it is even on this side of heaven.
What do you think about when you think about the future?
Thinking about my future, when you are gone, is scary. So you just live forever, and I'll be good.
You know, Sean, I used to always pray that I would live 1 second longer than you. And I know that you're going to outlive me. And so I just pray that you have a good and happy life, son.
I don't have any idea what life will look like when you pass. But I will figure it out. And I will be okay. I feel like we are living the best life we can with the cards we were given.
And I can agree with that.
I love you.
I love you too.
Sean and Jenny Carter in Houston, Texas. Their conversation is archived at the Library of Congress. You can hear more of Sean's story on the next episode of the StoryCorps podcast.
Major support for StoryCorps comes from Dignity Memorial. For many families, remembering loved ones means honoring the details that made them unique. Dignity Memorial is dedicated to compassion in every detail of a life celebration. DignityMemorial.com. And from Subaru, featuring the 2026 Subaru Crosstrek Wilderness with off-road capability and 9.3 inches of ground clearance designed for adventure seekers. Learn more at Subaru.com/wilderness.
This is NPR News.
As always,
wow,
the tearjerker from StoryCorps, National Public Radio, here on People Powered, KAXE. John and I are here to welcome you this week and to thank you. It is Member Appreciation Week. It's Halloween, and we invite you to stop into the studio. If you can't join us in Bemidji or Grand Rapids, send in a photo today or give us an idea of what John should be for Halloween. He forgot to wear a costume.
There's lots of suggestions, so little time.
Do you see the Diane Keaton boots I have on?
Oh my gosh, Heidi. This is spectacular ensemble.
I'm wondering if I could just do this every day.
Well, I love it. It's just full of life.
Yeah, that's what she said. Yeah. I loved Diane Keaton. And she just dressed like I loved it. Yeah.
Hmm.
Be interesting to see what my coworkers dress up as. They'll be kind of.
Do you have any ideas? Or you?
There's been some conversations. We'll see what happens. And you don't have to wear a costume to come in or to gather some coffee. You could gather coffee, but candy for Halloween. But we'd love to have you stop by if you could.
You know, the way we raise money when we've been struggling is almost like a reverse of Halloween. We knocked on people's doors and they came up through.
And they answered the door. They didn't turn the light off.
Yeah, they didn't turn the light off. They put the lights on bright.
Lots of folks who didn't get a chance to be members or helping out this week. We've gotten a few pledges. People are renewing their membership at this time of year, so we're keeping it going. We are behind the scenes working hard to make sure KEXE sticks around. Your membership helps us go to other sources, and we can say the community backs us here, and this is what we have for plans. We think Northern Minnesota deserves great music. We think Northern Minnesota deserves news about where they live, and that's what we provide to you each and every day. Thanks so much for being there with us. We sure appreciate it. You can text the word donate right now to 218-326-1234.
I have a little something I'd like to share because I need some advice, and I think it might be R-rated. I was vacuuming. I vacuum a lot, okay? The place we live in now has heated concrete floors, and we have two dogs that shed. So I vacuum a lot, and it's just a wide, you know, whatever the end is, and that's got the little bristles on it. You know what I'm talking about. Every vacuum has little bristles underneath. Mm-hmm. They're brushes. So if we can do all these amazing things in the world, why can't we do a brush that literally just collects the hair on the brushes? Now, do you know what I'm talking about? You're vacuuming with this thing.
Yeah.
And you turn it over and look at it, and it's all hair. Mm-hmm. And there's so much, it builds a bridge and nothing gets sucked down, so you have to pull it.
Right.
And let it go.
You should see it, the long hair.
Well,
in my house.
Okay, so my point is, can't we come up with, we have a very expensive vacuum cleaner.
Well, good for you.
Well, I mean, because of that reason, thinking that maybe that would stop, mm-hmm. and it doesn't. And I just don't understand why we can't create a vacuum that will suck up hair and not require you to turn it over and pull it all out with your hands.
Sometimes you have to, it's so tied in there.
I know.
You have to kind of be very careful, but like cut it, you know, and
yeah.
do all this stuff to it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you understand at least what I'm talking about. And I don't get it. I sat there and stared at that thinking, why in the world can't somebody figure this out? Even Dave Orrick, for example, hasn't been able to figure it out.
News from Northeastern Minnesota coming up next. Then we'll bring you best wishes. And we hope that you're going to join us for What's for Breakfast today.
I want to thank Hot Tubs in Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. HotTubsMN.com.
It is time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings at this time, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger, editor and publisher of the Timberjay. It's a newspaper that serves Northeastern Minnesota. Morning, Marshall. Thanks for being here.
Well, happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, I'm watching what the Timberjay is reporting on. It's similar to what our newsroom is doing in terms of how federal government shutdown is affecting our local communities. And one of the big ones we're watching, and you are as well, is area food pantries and SNAP benefits.
Right. Yeah, and it's funny, you know, it's like the first month of the shutdown seemed to kind of go without a lot of noticeable impacts, but people are really going to start to feel the effects as we head into November. And I think for a lot of families up here, it's going to be the loss of the SNAP benefits, and that's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and used to be called food stamps. And as of November 1st, benefits, which are usually automatically credited to EBT card that people have, those credits will not be issued. And this means that about 440,000 Minnesotans, including about 180,000 kids and 67,000 seniors, are going to be without these supplemental benefits. And, you know, this is coming at a time, of course, when, you know, folks are already feeling the effects of, you know, 3 years of inflation, which is continuing. You know, grocery prices continue to jump. And, you know, for the average family was getting about $187 per person monthly. You know, so the loss of these benefits is going to be huge. I mean, if you're a three-person household, you know, that's a lot of money, well over $500. So this is going to have a huge impact on family budgets. And, of course, you know, the place that people can go, the alternative to your SNAP benefits is going to be your local food shelf. And so, you know, we're expecting that there's going to be a big increase in demand at food pantries. And we just don't know at this point whether, you know, they're going to be prepared for it. I know some in our area, we talked to some of them, and they said they're, you know, getting ready and maybe planning additional distributions of food. I know the Ely food shelf said they're planning to do a what they call a food box that they'll distribute to people on November 7th. And they'll identify folks from their EBT card, and they'll be providing one box per household. And then, of course, that's in addition to their regular food distributions. But, you know, this is barely going to, you know, scratch the surface. I mean, these distributions of food will help families, but they're very unlikely that they will be able to replace in any significant way the loss of the food that they're able to purchase through, you know, the SNAP program. So, I mean, this is going to have a big impact on people. And, you know, this could be reversed. I mean, there is a lawsuit that's been filed by attorneys general from 22 states, and they're asking the court to order the distribution of about $5 billion, which is sitting in a rainy day fund. It's like a contingency fund that Congress set up for SNAP and some of these other programs in order to ensure that during the shutdown, people don't lose benefits. This would seem like, you know, fairly clearly that this could be used, but the Trump administration is now claiming that they don't have the legal authority to use these funds, which, according to Congress, were specifically designed for this purpose. But for whatever reason, they don't want to distribute them, and so they say that they're not going to do that. You know, they could keep this pain from, you know, happening right now if they wanted to distribute this money. But, you know, we'll see what the courts decide to do. I'm assuming that this this court case will proceed relatively quickly, and hopefully this will mitigate some of the pain that people will feel. But it remains to be seen. And we do have states around the area that are, including Minnesota, which is planning to boost funding for food banks, kind of a supplemental or emergency fund. I think Minnesota was looking at about $6 million in additional food shelf funding. And so that'll go, you know, some of the ways. But, you know, it's about one out of eight folks are on the SNAP benefits, so this is going to have a very widespread impact. And, you know, a few million dollars in emergency funding from the state is going to, again, just kind of be a scratch the surface of the problem here. So this is going to be a significant thing, and if this continues, and you know, at this point, there's really not much sign that there's really any progress towards ending the shutdown. I mean, if this continues, you know, well into November. I mean, it's going to have a real effect on people's Thanksgiving dinners and holiday activities as well. It's going to make for a pretty rough holiday season for a lot of families.
So we have, you said, 3 years of inflation, now November 1st, SNAP benefits going away. Also, for a lot of Minnesotans, what they're facing has to do with MNsure and healthcare and cost increase there.
Yeah, and this is going to affect as many as 170,000 Minnesotans. And these are people who are on the MNsure exchange, where you know, you buy private insurance through MNsure, and by doing that, people are able to obtain what are called advanced premium tax credits that help pay for, you know, some of the cost. It brings down the cost of your premium, and it makes a big difference for a lot of folks. And the credit was actually enhanced as a result of the American Recovery Act, which was passed in 2021 during the Biden presidency. And that made a big difference. What it did was it enhanced the premium tax credit, and then it also eliminated, income limit for folks, and because there used to be what they called a, you know, income cliff, where if you reached a household income of a certain point, your subsidy just disappeared. And so that meant, you know, for folks who just made a few thousand dollars more, suddenly would go from having a, you know, a decent amount of premium assistance to having none. And so then their premium costs would rise dramatically. And this helped to eliminate that cliff. And so it affected a lot of, you know, middle class families who maybe didn't have access to health insurance through their work. And this could include a lot of small business owners. I know a lot of small business owners in our area who use the MNsure program. And they were definitely helped by those enhanced premium credits. And it affects a lot of farmers as well. I think about 30% of farmers are on that program. And so, you know, this the enhanced credits are phasing out at the end of 2025. And I think the expectation was that these would be extended. But at this point, they have not been extended. And the this is kind of what's holding up the whole reopening of the government right now, is Democrats are saying they're not going to, you know, support a temporary funding bill unless Republicans agree to extend these enhanced credits. And the Republicans so far have been unwilling to meet with them to talk about that. So at this point, we're going into the new season. Starting November 1st is when people begin to sign up for their health insurance for next year. And folks in Minnesota and elsewhere around the country are going to find when they do that, they're going to be pretty shocked at what it's going to cost. In fact, we were able to get some numbers from MinSure, and they put it out actually by congressional district. And the average household in the 8th congressional district last year paid about $330 for their monthly premium through MinSure. And starting in January, that would go up to $516. So it's a pretty big jump, almost $200 more. And that doesn't include the premium increases that have also been put in place. So people are actually going to be probably paying more than that, you know, come January, unless this is changed. So a lot riding again on coming, you know, figuring out a way for Congress to get together and end the government shutdown and you know, hopefully extend these premium tax credits. So, yeah, again, a lot riding on this.
Yeah, for sure. Before we go, let's talk a little bit about Voyagers and what you have learned about and the studies they've done on the wolf population right now.
Yeah, and of course, I'm talking about the Voyagers Wolf Project, and this is an ongoing study. It's in its 11th year now. It's a group of University of Minnesota researchers led by Tom Gable, and they've been monitoring the wolf population and wolf behavior in Voyagers National Park, like I said, for the past 11 years. And, you know, they've been, as they monitor that population, of course, it goes up and down. That's especially characteristic of predator populations, which tend to, you know, go up when they have plentiful prey, and they tend to drop when they don't. And so the last 2 years, in fact, now this is the third year in a row, we've seen declining wolf numbers in Voyagers National Park. According to their study, they had about a 19% decrease this year over the prior year, and they're down 32% over the past 2 years. And mostly the decline has been the result of a very limited pup survival, and that's, you know, true when you've got limited prey populations, which is the situation right now, of course, with white-tailed deer, which, you know, tend to be the primary prey for wolves, at least in parts of the year. And the fact that we've had deer populations kind of at a low ebb up in our neck of the woods, that certainly impacted, you know, deer or the wolf populations. And it also kind of, I think, this is good information for folks because, you know, there's this idea that wolf populations just increase, you know, every year. And so there's this thinking that there's so many wolves that you know the deer can't recover, and of course the reality is if they don't have a food source and because the you know deer numbers are down, their wolf population is going to decline, and that's what they're able to document here as a result of this study. And the way they do that is they maintain hundreds of trail cameras around their study area, and they also have GPS collared wolves, so they can, you know, find out, you know, very easily where wolves are moving, and they can also get regular looks at them through their trail cameras. So it really has helped them to understand a lot better just the regular behavior, day-to-day behavior of wolves, as well as monitor their populations to a degree that really wasn't possible before. So they're really getting some good data, and it's really kind of confirming what researchers have documented over the years, which is that really it's the predator population is dependent on the prey numbers, not the other way around.
You know, I'm glad you brought it up. I've been looking at their website and recommend it to folks to find out more about this project and watch some of these videos. It's VoyagerWolfProject.org and really interesting what they've been working on. How many years did you say it's been?
11 years.
Okay.
Yeah, and what's great, too, is they post a lot of videos on their Facebook page and their website that, you know, are not just about wolves, because, I mean, they've got all these trail cameras out there. So, I mean, they're getting all kinds of, of footage of, you know, everything from lynx to moose to bears, lots of bears.
Yeah.
And then just everything else. I mean, everything down to little weasels. And, you know, I mean, so they've got a nice collection of videos of all kinds of different wildlife up in that area. So it's really fun to go and watch those.
It's Marshall Helmberger. It's been the Border News Roundup. You can read and see more at timberjay.com. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Heidi. You too.
That's new music from Jason Isbell with Father John Misty, one of them with the other one. Who They Talking To is the name of the song. And the news from northeastern Minnesota. I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer. Coming up, we'll have best wishes.
We would like to thank the Headwaters Music and Arts in downtown Bemidji, offering music lessons and art programming for all ages. More at headwatersmusicandthearts.org, Facebook, or Instagram. And the Bagley Area Arts Collaborative is a business supporter. They're offering two workshops in November, handmade beautiful cards, November 8th from 1 to 3:30, and stationary mail basket on November 9th from 10 to 4, both held at 9 Central Street West in Bagley. More at bagleyarts.org. Heidi, a stationary mail basket is just one of those things where people have books? Is that what you're thinking it is? A stationary mail basket. It's got... I was thinking one of those libraries.
Okay. I think it's probably for home to put your mail in when you come in. So it's like making.
Oh, okay.
Right?
All right. All right. Yeah.
Hey, you have a costume on.
Yeah, security guard.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're on board. I appreciate it.
Security guard.
It's Halloween. We are inviting the public to stop by Bemidji and Grand Rapids. And we are asking you to either send in a photo, stop by for some candy, some trick or treat, and get a tour of the place. We can't wait to see you. We also want to tell you about some things going on in our region, including the weather. Chance of showers, cloudy, temperatures 42 to 44 today, and then a chance of rain or flurries for tonight, mostly cloudy, 27 to 32. Partly sunny on Saturday, highs in the low 40s. Daylight saving time, set your clocks back 1 hour.
Lots of Halloween stuff, my goodness. A screamatorium?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds scary. At Chair in downtown Virginia, November 1st from 6 to 10 each evening. Those in elementary school must be accompanied by an adult. A tamer version will be offered to younger kids on Halloween from 4 to 6.
That's today. Cohen County Sheriff's Office has a trunk or treat event. That is today. And it's from 3:30 to 5:30 at the parking lot in the corner of Laurel and 4th Street. You can trick or treat while checking out various police cars and the canine team.
Up north, the Marcel Family Center has a Halloween bash October 31st from 5 to 7:30. Families can enjoy food, games, candy, and a lot more.
Downtown Virginia, Revive Virginia, hosts their trunk or treat event today from 4 to 6. It is on Chestnut Street. And Brainerd Community Theater continues their run of Dracula, Comedy of Terrors. It's now through tomorrow at the Chalberg Theater on the campus of Central Lakes College in Brainerd. What are you doing for Halloween? You can text us 218-326-1234. We do have to let you know, this is the normal time of year, would be our fall fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
But because of your overwhelming support, it is Member Appreciation Week. But on Tuesday, this happened too, where someone said, no, we want to continue to get new people and to get people to renew memberships. So we do have a match on the table right now that just came in. We're looking for, we get an extra $1,000 unlocked mm-hmm. if we get four pledges, if we get four people saying they support KEXE before 9 o'clock. And you can do that by texting the word donate to 218-326-1234.
You know,
thank you to our anonymous confidential pledger who wants to make sure we keep it going. The community has been so amazing to help us out during this time. We continue to bring you information and news and entertainment about Northern Minnesota. So thank you for being there for us, and we can't thank you enough. You can text the word donate right now to 218-326-1234. There's folks here that could answer a phone call about it as well. So
let's get it going.
That's right. It is time for best wishes. We do our best to wish our friends and neighbors happy birthday and happy anniversary.
Today, Matt Carges is 34 years old. Ed Anderson from Big Fork celebrating a birthday. This is like the anonymous one as far as numbers. Lauren Downham is having a birthday. And Peter Lofstrom from Fort Ripley. We only know one of their ages, at least Matt Carges.
Oh, but we have another one we know.
Oh, Cedar.
Cedar Maley from Meadowlands is 12. Cedar, we got something special coming up for you. Stay tuned. And for tomorrow, November 1st, happy anniversary, Fred and Beth Carlish. 45th for them. And birthdays, Paul Weiberg is 82 from Manchester, Maine. Walden McFarlane is 73 from Aiken.
Wow.
And Pam Peterson is 73 years old today. Very special tribute for Cedar Maley. It's Cedar Maley Halloween Day. How we refer to it. And we got a song special for you for your 12th.
Pretend that I don't love you. You could never pretend that I'm your man. That's exactly the way that I want it. It's exactly the way that I am. And you call me in the morning with your troubles, taking it downtown every night. I could never place the stars at night above. Got my hands on the ground and you know I'm right. You wait so long. You wait so long. You wait so long. You wait so long. Every time it happens, livin' up, honey, it ain't that bad. And he after dark,
Mm-hmm. Happy 12th to Cedar Maley and Meadowlands. Just got a note from his grandma saying he got to see Trampled last summer for the first time ever, his favorite band. I got to see Cedar at the Grand Rapids River Fest. That was a lot of fun. He was digging the vibe as well.
Fantastic.
Cool kid. Yep. Happy birthday. And I'm assuming, I met a guy last night. We were at a big box store and he said it was his birthday on Halloween. I was chatting with him. I said, is that a problem at all? Does it take away? He goes, no, free candy and presents. So we would love to hear from you. You can text us 218-326-1234. And if you missed it, we've got an anonymous donation. It's Member Appreciation Week, but we've got a confidential pledger who's been gone all week. Wasn't sure if it was fundraiser, but I want to donate. And happy Halloween to Punch and Judy at the mic. That's what he's calling us. He said,
and we do look like Punch and Judy.
Well, speak for yourself. A little bit. Tiny little bit. So that means we're looking for four pledges. We can unlock that $1,000 by 9 o'clock this morning.
Huge.
Not a traditional membership drive, but this is how it's been for us, where people have been coming forward ever since it happened. It's part of the reason was the initial fundraiser, the emergency was so good, but then people have continued every day to do
this. When opportunities like this arise, we need to have people step up. And
you might be like a confidential member where you missed some of this stuff going on. You didn't get a chance to do it. You can do it now. Text the word donate, 218-326-1234. You can also call. We've got some folks here getting ready for Halloween open house. But donate. Texting the word donate to 218-326-1234. Easiest way to do it. We can't thank you enough to help us make that match, to keep the coffers going, to keep community radio going strong.
And you know what? Tonight's Halloween and the lows. Temps are going to be in the 40s and it's not going to rain. So it's going to be perfect for the kids out there.
Just heard from Fred from Hackensack. He says Fred and Beth Carlish are celebrating their anniversary tomorrow. I think we had them on our list.
Yeah
we did. 45 years. Amazing years. Woohoo! Fred must have just tuned in and missed it. Unless he just wanted to woohoo, which I appreciate. I think that's very sweet. We do already have a lined up a what's for breakfast for Halloween. So you can hold your calls.
You can relax.
And we just heard from Steve saying his Halloween plans are sitting down with my 13-year-old, a bag of chips and a jar of queso, watching the original classic Jurassic Park. They wanted to watch a movie where people get eaten. I said, how about the movie that terrified me when I was your age, and saw it in the theater? They chuckled and giggled their way through Jaws, so I'm sure they'll be fine.
Chips and a case of queso?
Jar of queso.
What's queso?
A cheese.
Oh, nice.
Cheese dip.
Perfect evening.
Not a case. He did not say a case.
Oh, okay. I want to thank Timberlake Restaurant in Grand Rapids, featuring Martini Monday each week from 5 to 8 p.m., offering guests martinis and menu items such as chicken Kiev, a Reuben, and French fettuccine Alfredo. The dinner menu and additional information are available at Timberlake Lodge Hotel.
John was earlier once again trying to crowdsource answers to help his daily life, and about the vacuum.
Yes.
Want to get the dog hair out of the little bristles. Carrie texted and said, you need to use the shop vac.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You do, but... So if you use the wide end of a shop vac, it will scratch the floor and make an awful like blackboard noise. And shop vacs require ear surgery because they're so damn
loud. Whenever we use it, we have ear protection. They're sitting right by the shop vac, actually. You put on little headphones when you do it.
I like this suggestion. I totally agree with it. Totally.
They also have extension that has a brush on it, so you'll get the same
result.
Problem for that one. It wouldn't scratch because it would have the brush, but then you get the same.
So I really feel like there is no solution ever in the history of the world to figure this out.
Oh,
I'm serious. Think about it. I mean, unless it's a hovercraft type vacuum where it
floats.
What
about the robot vacuum? How does that handle?
I think
dog and cat hair.
I think it does because it's off the ground. And it has good suction.
Your big announcement that there's been possibility. We already found out it's a robot vacuum.
It shouldn't be so hard on me. The robot vacuum, but not everybody can afford a robot vacuum.
All right. But you just said you had the best, fanciest vacuum ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm
digging a big hole, and you're making it even bigger.
Yes. That's what I'm
Happy
here
Halloween.
For.
Happy Halloween.
That's what I'm here for, John. John did find a costume. We hope you are choosing to or not. I'm not usually a costume person, but we'd love to have you stop by. We'd love to have you support KAXE. Punch and Judy Radio is what our confidential pledger called us today. And an extra $1,000 thrown in when we hear from four people before 9 o'clock. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. Really good solution here to the, this wouldn't need you to buy a new vacuum. A seam ripper, you know, that people use sewing, works really well to get the hair that is wrapped around a vacuum brush.
A seam ripper?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, yeah, that's...
It's still having to do it, but still having you'd to have do a it. Tool to do it. It would be easier.
Hmm. Okay.
Right now, it's time for a little dose of nature with John Latimer, and then we're going to have some breakfast.
On today's date, Halloween of 1990, the evening is set in motion by the eerie call of a pack of coyotes who are adding some real verisimilitude to a already spooky Halloween night. The coyotes are common and remarkably successful. In fact, they're one of the few predators that has succeeded in the presence of man. In other words, man's presence on the earth has made it possible for the coyote population to increase. Because the coyotes get along with humans just fine. You might not think so, but if you have a cat or if you have garbage outside, you are attracting cats and raccoons and all kinds of things that coyotes like to eat, not to mention the garbage that you might throw out of your house. So as we close the month of October, and we do so in a rather spooky fashion, listen, maybe there's a coyote in your neighborhood adding a little verisimilitude to your Halloween experience.
It don't matter if you're tall, it don't matter if you're small, it don't matter if you're blue or green or any shape at all. 'Cause I'll be yours and you'll be mine to last, and we'll be friends holding fast. You don't have to be smart, you don't have to play a part. What better thing could ever be than a kindly heart? And I'll have yours and you have mine to last. We'll be friends holding fast. Talk all day, I'll listen. There's nothing we'll be missing. We don't need to paint the world, everything will glisten.
We don't need to paint the world because everything will glisten. It's time for What's for Breakfast on the Friday Morning Show. We pull up a chair to one of our members' kitchen tables. We get to know them a little bit better. This morning, early, we got a reservation, John, that we talked about. Joanne from Side Lake said, I want to be on What's for Breakfast. Now, is it because you've had a phenomenal breakfast, Joanne?
No. Oh. I just said strawberries, but the dough's taking a break today.
The what?
So, the dough. My grandkids. You know, Tommy and
Kendall
Frasley. And I have a shout out to them. See, we're in DeLand, Florida right now.
Oh, okay.
And I sent you guys a text last week, and we get the 2,000 trick-or-treaters down here and not inside Lake.
Okay, all right. That makes a little bit more sense. All right.
There's 2,000 people inside Lake.
Yeah, I know. I just thought, well, maybe it's the Halloween headquarters. I don't know.
Oh, no, but it's just crazy insane down here.
Wow. Okay, but let's go back to your breakfast first. You just some strawberries. Is that what you said?
Yep, that's what we had today with strawberries. Because we got to get ready, we got to decorate for all the craziness that's going on later on today. So I'm taking a break for breakfast.
Well, just strawberry? You'll do something a little bit later on after you've made some progress on work
on the decorating. participating.
Yeah.
Well, we might do something later. Yesterday we had a big breakfast. We had pancakes and breakfast burritos. So we'll see what we can whip up here.
So do you try and change it up every year, the decorating? And what are you trying to look for? Are you looking like for skeletons or goblins or what?
Our street that we live on, which is Minnesota Avenue in Florida, and a lot of skeletons this year. I can't believe all the skeletons out there. We had a big dragon out there. And then what we give out for our treat is Mr. Freeze Pops.
Okay, in Florida, that's even better.
Yes.
It's the best kept secret, you guys, and all the secrets out of the bag. Oh. But it's great because the little like toddlers, you know,
yeah,
that can't eat all the candy, we'll cut them in half because we freeze them, then we separate them, and we have a whole system, put them in the cooler. There's people on each side of the cooler with scissors, and 99% of the kids want the Mr. Freeze Pops. And we also have like a dish of candy, too.
So you,
but they love it.
You get 2,000 Freeze Pops, do you?
We bought 1,200 this year.
Goodness.
I know.
Wow.
And then we get pooped, and by 8 o'clock, it's like we're exhausted, so then it's lights out, and once we run out, then we shut the light off, of course.
Well, you know the rumor mill of these toddlers and the trick-or-treaters. They know, everyone's telling everyone to go to this house, to your house, because of this amazing Freeze Pop.
We've been here about 7 years, and they go, oh, this is a popsicle house.
Okay, so here I've got to be kind of a devil's advocate. So you usually push about 2,000. Now you're only getting 1,200. Are the lights going to go off after 1,200?
They're going to go out when we run out of candy. And then we always get the little stragglers, you know, like the older kids or people that had to work late.
Yeah.
Knocking on the door, and, you know, we maybe have a candy bar or something to give them, or maybe an apple. I don't know. But it gets pretty busy, put it that way.
Oh,
it's a lineup.
Gosh.
So you said you bought 12. I want to go back to the math of the Freezy Pops. So 1,200 Freezy Pops. But you're cutting them in half, so then you do have 2,400 of those?
No. We'll cut them in half, you know, so that they can suck on them.
And then
kids that don't want them cut, you know, I said, that's okay. They'll thaw out, and they'll refreeze them when you get home. You know,
I'm still confused. You cut them in half as you're going to give them to them?
Yeah, so they can eat it while they're trick-or-treating.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
I got it. And if they don't want to eat it, then they can just put it in his bag, put it in the freezer when they get home.
Do you tell them not to litter?
Well, you guys, it's so nice because the first time we did it, my husband thought, oh my gosh, it's going to be a mess out there, you know, with all the plastic and all that. They are extremely careful about that. And this year we're going to put a garbage can out the end of our sidewalk there. But everybody is really, really pretty cautious about littering. It's really nice. It's the whole street, our whole street. Like two houses down, they're going to have a musician singing. She's amazing.
What?
Some people pass out hot dogs, you know, and some do like adult beverages. They pass out some things, but it's insane. We didn't realize it when we bought the house, but even the person we bought the house from says, you know, if you get 2,000 kids for Halloween, we thought, oh, yeah, right.